Our reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, and from the King James Version of the Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
In the booklet that went with the July CD service, there were thanks given to those who read and pray with us, and for the musicians, and for Don putting together this service. But I didn't read anything saying thank you to Judith Brazier for putting things together. But thank you, Judith, for what you have done. Especially thank Judith because she's invited me to speak to you today. Thank you. My thoughts start from one simple little word, the word in. Not the inn of the story at Bethlehem of Joseph and Mary not finding anywhere to stay when they went to Bethlehem, but the word in, as in, is anybody in? Because this is part of a phrase that Paul uses 31 times in his writings. It's his way of saying what it means to have the experience of Christ in your life. It began in Acts chapter 9 in his conversion on the road to Damascus. There he had been opposing Christ, thinking he was doing God's service by persecuting Christ and his people. And then he discovered Christ is alive, the Lord, and he felt so ashamed of himself. His experience of Christ began with repentance and receiving grace and forgiveness that he could never, ever forget. And he expressed this quite quickly in baptism. His experience of Christ was to be a changed person. And his experience of Christ was then to have a mission, a purpose in life, a new purpose. A purpose not to hurt and destroy, but even to bear suffering for the sake of Christ. And his life became changed because in Christ he now had new values, new attitudes, new ways of doing things. And so he sums this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, or a new creation. Because in fact, that is the word used there. He's not just a new solitary private individual. He's now part of God's whole plan of God's to create a new heaven and a new earth, a whole new community of people who are in Christ. And that chapter goes on to say that God made him, Christ, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A very daring thing to say, that all our sin was borne by Christ, and in him we are put right with God. And this is not just a flash in the pan, not just something for a moment, a month or two and a year or two before we move on to something else. This is for lifetime and eternity. In the well-known passage of Romans chapter 8, the very last verse talks about nothing in all the universe, no experience at all, can ever separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. All the things that can be thrown against us, physical illness, persecution, hard times, shortage of cash, all the things that go against us in our minds, our depressions, none of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is when it's ours in Christ Jesus. There's Paul's utter confidence in facing the whole gamut of life's experiences. His big experience is being in Christ. His deepest experience is being in Christ. His lasting experience is being in Christ. And this is reciprocal as well. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul talks about Christ being the image of God. A very noble passage about the supreme place of Christ in God's universe. And Paul dares to say, as he goes on through that passage, that Christ in us is our hope of glory. Our experience is being in Christ, but also the God who is in Christ is in us. Reciprocal, wonderful, marvelous. About 80 years ago, a little book was written called The Unity of the New Testament, published and during the war, and the writer was A.M. Hunter. Now, I didn't read it at the time because it wasn't on the reading list of the school I went to in Leicester, Evington Valley Infants. But many years later, I was required to read it, and I'm glad I did. Because the writer said, that's in crisis Paul's key phrase, but we don't find it elsewhere. What's going on in the New Testament? Are there different attitudes altogether? No, he said. Other people have other ways of expressing the same experience. In Matthew, Mark and Luke, it's expressed by being in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Jesus began his ministry in Mark chapter 1 by preaching the good news, saying the kingdom is near, repent and believe. It began again, like Paul's experience of Christ, with being sorry for a misspent life and being directed towards a life of faith in God through Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel, we have all these parables in chapter 13. 10 times the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God, is mentioned. And sometimes it's like the searching for hidden treasure or the pearl of greatest price. The kingdom of heaven is like this, where you give up everything for the supreme wonder of having the pearl of greatest price. It's worth every sacrifice to be in the kingdom of God and to receive unknown, untold blessings through that. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. What about Paul? What about John's letter? John's writings, his gospel. Well, his key phrase to express this basic experience of the Christian believer is eternal life. That very well-known verse in John chapter 3, verse 16. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's the same word as everlasting, goes on and lasts. But the word eternal is used because this is life not just of many, many years, but life of a new quality. To receive eternal life is to be in Christ, to be in the kingdom. In a well-known story of Jesus running that mobile food bank by the Sea of Galilee with the disciples, people get fed. Afterwards, Jesus talks about himself as the bread of life, bread from heaven. And in the course of that, he says, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. That is the blessing, the experience of receiving Christ, not just the provider of physical goods and needs, but the one who gives us life in ourselves. And John links it with words like joy and peace, and that is a new quality of life altogether. So my question is quite simply, are you in? Are you in Christ? Are you in his kingdom? Have you received eternal life? Is it experience that is expressed in so many different ways in the New Testament, your experience expressed in your way? I pray it may be so.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my As we come towards the end of this time of worship, let's pray. Father, we thank you for that reminder that our identity, our worth, our hope and our joy are to be found in you, not in anything we deserve or can earn. Thank you that through your grace we can have the assurance that there is nothing in all creation that is able to separate us from your love, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard all our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, today and always. Amen. Our final hymn expresses, through the words of Charles Wesley, that deep wonder and thankfulness of all that we have in Christ. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?